And so what we're going to look at today, as it focuses on the Chaos series, is our relationships. And we're going to look at how what other people think of us, what other people's approval of us, how that affects us. See, God designed us for relationships. We are meant to have community. But when we start caring more about what other people think of us, or if other people approve us, things can get really, really chaotic. And I started thinking about my childhood and how that related to my own life. And the way that I tried to get acceptance from people was through being the best at everything. So I wanted to be the smartest. I wanted to be the most athletic. I wanted to be the funniest and the best looking and the wisest and the person that could give the best advice. But I was never those things. I was never the best at any of those things. And then as I grew up, I still struggle with that. I still want to be the best looking. I still want to be the smartest. I still want to be the funniest. You know, last night, somebody had the nerve to tell me that I wasn't hilarious. I was like, what? Are you kidding me? I am awesome. I am hilarious. But the fact of the matter is, I'm really not that funny. See? Cricket, cricket, cricket. My point exactly. And then other things started becoming important. So I had all those other things that I wanted to be, but I also wanted to be seen as the most professional in my business. I wanted to be the most financially successful compared to people that are my age. I wanted to be all these things, and that just is one pressure after another pressure after another pressure after another pressure until it's just too much, and I can't take it anymore. It's overbearing. It's unrelenting. And it's not what God wants for me. He didn't give me that. That was something that I chose for myself. And I think as you guys start to think about your own lives and the capacity to which other people's approval and what other people think of you really, really does, we all struggle with that in one way or another. I know it. I know it because I've experienced it myself. I've seen what it's done to some of my friends and some of the choices that they've made because of it. I've seen it on TV. I've seen it in magazines. I've seen it everywhere. And it's not what God has for us. I want you guys to think about your own experiences and your friends' experiences. That guy that has just a raging crush on that girl that just isn't interested in him. The group of girls that picks on that one girl. Drama. Yeah, yeah. Or the person that just seems like they can't, no matter what they do, they just can't make their parents proud. They can't make their parents satisfied. So what's the flip side of that then? I'm sure you guys are thinking, okay, so he must be telling me then that it doesn't matter what anybody thinks. I should just not care about what people think of me. Well, one, that's unrealistic. That's super, super unrealistic because deep down in some way, we do care about what other people think of us. And if you're even able to get to that point to where you're like, no, I'm good. I really, really don't care what other people think of me. Well, think of the person that could cause you to become. Your world becomes all about you. You get selfish and self-absorbed. And it's all about you. Not exactly the life that Jesus imagined for us. So it probably sounds completely desperate It probably sounds like a completely hopeless situation. But what we're going to look at today is what God has to say about what other people think of us. So you guys can go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 29. And Ryan touched on it last week, but the book of Proverbs really is one of the best books in the entire Bible for just life advice. It talks about finances. It talks about relationships. It talks about just wisdom and knowledge in general. And so it was written by King Solomon, who was David's son. And God told him, or asked him, Solomon, I will give you anything that you want. What do you want? And rather than asking for riches or for fame or for this or for that, he goes, God, give me wisdom. And God said, because you have done this with an earnest heart, because that came from the genuineness of your heart to glorify me, I will give that to you. So Solomon was the wisest, and he is still considered one of the wisest people that have ever lived. And so as you guys go through the book of Proverbs, you will continue to learn and continue to understand. All throughout the book, it talks about seek wisdom and seek knowledge, and it will be added to you. So that's just my little plug for the book of Proverbs. But Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. We're going to look at the first half of it first. It says, the fear of man brings a snare. So fear can be a big, wide definition, right? I'm sure some of you are thinking, well, is he talking about death here? Is he talking about scared that someone's going to kill him? No, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is the fear of what other people think of you, the fear of the acceptance that you get from other people. You see, in one way or another, whether we've done it personally or we've seen other people do it, we have set morals and values that we have. But when it starts to become more important what other people think of us than what God thinks of us or than what we think of ourselves, we can start compromising on our beliefs. And it can take us down a road and a path that we never even imagined for ourselves. And so there's destruction in that because we become so consumed and so absorbed in what a group of people or a specific person thinks of us that we become trapped, and then we become paralyzed, and then before we even know it, we become people that we never even imagined for ourselves. We become people that we hate, that we are disgusted with, that we are ashamed of. And the scariest part about seeking other people's approval is that it's a never-ending rat race. You just get in the hamster wheel of trying to run faster and faster and faster and faster, and you seek it, and you seek it, and you run, and you run, and you run. But you will never, ever, ever be approved by everyone. You cannot please everyone. And it's just exhausting. You talk about a way to wear yourself out. Try to make everybody like you. I've tried to do it, and I, like I said earlier, I think I'm pretty awesome. No, guys. No. I cannot fulfill everyone. You cannot fulfill everyone. Luckily, there's hope. There's hope that when it really, really sinks down deep into our hearts, it can change everything for us. So let's look at the second half of that verse. It says, but he who trusts in the Lord is kept safe. So what does that mean? If you trust in the Lord, you're kept safe. As I was studying this week, that was the thing that I really wrestled with. Because I know that the tendency that we have in church is to say, the Bible says it, this is what the Bible says, so just accept it and believe it and go on your way. A couple weeks ago, Ricky taught on love. And I saw, based on how you guys reacted, that it stirred something inside of you. That it stirred something inside of your hearts. It was a great message and a great picture of how much God loves us. He used the verse John 3:16, which is a great, great memory verse. For God so loved the world that he gave up his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That is so, so powerful. Another great memory verse is Romans 5:8. It is one of my favorite verses, and the more that I begin to understand it, the more it changes everything for me. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is so, so powerful. It means that while we were still God's enemies, while we spat on him and sinned against him and hated him and didn't want him and rejected him, he loved us, and he died on the cross for us. He paid the ultimate price for us so that we would have relationship with him. Does that sound like somebody that you can trust? He loves you so much that he gives his son to pay the debt that you deserved. That is so, so powerful. We were God's enemies, but he demonstrated his love for us. Let's think, guys, what does demonstrate mean? Demonstrate means that we're going to prove something. So if you were going to prove how much you love someone, what would be a good way to do that? Think about that. We have different romantic ideas of what that looks like. And typically, the people that we want to show love for are the people that have already been nice to us, people that have already made us feel good inside. When you think about demonstrating for your love for someone, can you imagine dying for them? I'm sure for a lot of you, you're thinking, yeah, for my family members or for some of my closest friends, I could die for them. I love them that much. I would give my life for them. What about your worst enemy? What about the person that makes your life absolutely miserable? What about the person that if you had it your way, you would completely wipe them out of your life? God demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, and that while we were still his enemies, Christ, his beloved son, died for us. And something else that Ricky talked about was how we are his beloved children. I just imagine that, and it completely changes everything for me. And so, if we believe that Jesus died on the cross, was resurrected 3 days later, and is the Son of God, then that validates everything in this Bible. Because all throughout the Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament, it all looks to Jesus. And so, if this is the truth then, if Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection validates the Bible, then that means that we can trust God. And if we can trust God, then that means that we need to look to his truth for how we are to live our lives. And that will change everything. When we go and try to live our lives based on our own understanding and trying to fulfill the empty places inside of us, like getting other people to like us and accept us, we're distorting what God intended for us. The beautiful thing about the Bible is it's not just good advice. It is the best news that you could ever imagine, and it will completely change your life if you let it. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge. The fear that Solomon was talking about here is a reverential awe and admiring and respect and just amazement of who God is. So as that starts to grip our hearts, we'll want to start learning more about him. The Bible is God's written, holy word to us. He tells us how we're supposed to do relationships. He tells us what is best for us. And to me, that is just so, so amazing, because I think deep down we all want to flourish and succeed in our relationships. But if we were to be completely honest, we would see that maybe we don't have a ton of life experience. Maybe we don't have a ton of successful relationship experience. Maybe we've developed a ton of bad habits based on the people that we associate with that has affected our ability to be successful in relationships. We're selfish and self-serving, and we want everything to be on our terms. The amazing thing about the Bible is God wants to transform us to be more like Christ. He wants to mold us into Christ's likeness. So he shows us through the life that his son lived how to serve and love others. He tells us to not let any unwholesome word come out of our mouths. He tells us to be slow to anger, quick to listen, slow to speak. He tells us to be filled with the fruits of the Spirit. As we study and pursue those things, guess what? Our relationships will be better. And the people that matter will like us and accept us and approve us. And even if they don't, it doesn't matter, because we understand the right standing that we have with God, the grace and the love and the mercy that he showed us. And we know that because we have a right relationship with him, because of what his son did on the cross, we have a peace and a freedom that surpasses all understanding. It's amazing the way all of it works together. God is perfect and his plan is perfect. And so, what I want to encourage you guys to do is really, really think. And maybe this is the first time you've really thought about it. Maybe this is the first time you've actually considered just how much you care about what other people think of you. I want you guys to take the next minute to really think about what others think of you and if others approve you, how that's affected your life. Has that caused chaos in your life? To me, that can be the number one most stressful thing in your life. It's never ending. It's not something that you can ever fully obtain. And how does it change you? How does it change the person that you actually want to be? Close your eyes. Take the next minute to really think about that. All right, go ahead and open your eyes, guys. I would encourage you to really feel those feelings. Don't push them aside. You cannot heal from them unless you recognize it, unless you acknowledge it, and unless you deal with it. If this is stirring something inside of you, pursue it. Pursue it. Don't just let today go by and then forget about it as you get sucked and absorbed into the craziness and the busyness of this next week. Because the reality is, guys, is that God did create us for relationships. And we can have amazing, joy-filled lives as we experience community and fellowship the way God intended it to be. But as soon as we start compromising who we are and what we believe in, because we care so much about what other people think of us, we're not being true to ourselves. We're not being true to God. We're not even being true to the person that we're trying to please. So think about that. And then think about God's unrelenting love for you. For extra credit this week, because it impacted me so much, I would encourage you guys to just flip open your Bibles and just go to Psalms. Just read Psalms. Try to understand what it's saying, but more than everything else, just sit in what the words are saying. Sit in what the author's trying to say. And look at the beautiful communion that the author is having with the Lord as he just basks in his love and his beauty and his glory and his faithfulness. I'm going to read you guys one of my favorite psalms. I want you to really just meditate on the words. Listen to what David's saying. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Think about how powerful it would be if you even took one of those verses and meditated on it. I fear no evil, for you are with me. Goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. We can believe it in our heads, but as we really just rest and meditate on those truths, let it work down into your heart and into your soul. Let it change you. Let it change your lives, guys, because as soon as it does, you will experience peace and freedom and love unlike you've ever imagined. And so as we break into small groups, I urge you guys to be honest about what other people think of you, how that's affected your life, and how that's created chaos in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day, and thank you so much for all that you're doing in every single person in this room's life, God. I just praise you for your loving kindness and your faithfulness, and that we have nothing to fear because we're secure in you. Lord, I pray that you help us to feel your love and your presence in our lives. Help us to trust in you with all of our hearts and lean not on our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge you. And we know that you will make our path straight. God, I pray that you put a desire in each of our hearts to seek you with everything that we have. I pray that you would be the priority of our lives. And finally, God, I pray that you would help us to surrender completely and totally to you. Help us to put off our own selfish motives and the ways in which we try to fulfill our lives with things that are truly empty and things that will truly leave us thirsty, longing for the only true hope and the only true joy and the only true fulfillment that we'll ever have, which is you, Lord. I pray that you protect us and take care of us, Lord. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.